All right. Thank you, Leo. We'll understand on the other side. The Lord was guiding us when we didn't know it. Amen. Well, it's been a blessing already to be in the house of God tonight. I have a special treat. We've had some of this here lately. We have some of our, younger preachers that went out from us and done a good work, coming back by from time to time. Had Brother Stanley the other night. And we are so proud of that. We graduated quite a few at the college service, and it's just a blessing to an old preacher's heart to look and see a lot of them that went out and are doing the job for God. We have Brother Rodney Noblett with us tonight. Brother Rodney and family's with us. Going to ask him to come on up and bring the message. He's pastoring up in Galion, Ohio. That's where it got cold this year. Up that way, doing a great job, and has one of the best young people's departments, I think, I know of, because he takes a personal interest in it. Appreciate him and Aaron and the whole family, and it was good to see them with us this morning, and we've asked him to bring the message tonight. So, Brother Noblett, you come on, please.
Thank you, Pastor. All right, thank you for those kind words, and I appreciate it being here. It's a home away from home. It's the only other place I've ever lived, that is, and I would just consider so many family and friends around here. I think there's a little Donahue family section right there, a little fan section. It's good to see them. They used to be up here in the backslidden part up there, and they moved down here some. It's good to see them. And Caleb and Rebecca, I haven't got the chance to congratulate them on a new baby girl, I think, coming into this world. All right. Congratulations for them on that. Remember the first time I came to Landmark, very first Sunday, Brother Matt and Miss Rachel invited me over to eat at spaghetti dinner. This is going to outdate me. It's a time when Seamus was cute. He's about 5 years old or so. And Caleb was still in diapers back then. And that was back in the day. I cannot believe. Rachel does not look like she'd be a grandma. Does it? Matt, on the other hand. Grandpa Pout's coming. Just take a picture of Grandpa there. But great to be here. And my wife needed to come down for a couple reasons, and I didn't want her to come down all on her own. We have little baby number 6 coming along here, so I did not. Six, yeah, the 6, that's it. Promise you that, and for sure. And so I wanted her to come down with her, doing her drive by herself, and so I came along. Good to see family, friends, and good to be here. I'm going to need a little help. We don't know yet if it's going to be a boy or a girl. We have 3 girls and 2 boys right now. Kind of praying for a boy to even things out just a little bit. And Landmark's always helped me with my names, at least for the boys, always have. Back in 2002, when my oldest boy was born, I let my baseball team pick his name. They had 2 choices. I gave him 2 choices, Rocky or Brock. And they said, you can't do that to the boy. So they voted Brock. So we have Brock Cameron. And then my 2-year-old in the nursery now, we have Bryce Carter. And Carter, after my hero, Pastor Mickey Carter, got the middle name in there, Carter. So we need a BR name if it's a boy. There's a bunch of J names for girls, but BR for a boy. I'm trying to talk my wife into this one. One of my favorite movies is Gladiator. I like that movie. And if any of you know anything about Ohio State, their Buckeye mascot name is Brutus. So Brutus Maximus is the name I'm going for. My wife has not quite been on board yet with it. It's going to take some prayer for that. But we'll see. We'll see coming up next month. It'll be boy or girl. But no, I'm so thankful. I've got the greatest wife in the world. And she found me here, by the way, at Landmark Baptist Church. And I have a paper here someone gave me about a husband store. Any ladies, you ever been to the husband store? by chance? Any ladies' husband store in New York? Husband store in New York. It's in New York City. I guess it's a store that sells husbands. And six floors to it. And each floor gives attributes of men, and they increase as the shopper ascends the floor. And a woman, it says here, goes to the husband store to find one. On the first floor, the sign reads, floor one, these men have jobs and love the Lord. And it gives a little thing after the first floor. It says, you can only go up, but you can't go down. And it goes on then, and the lady comes to the second floor, and the sign reads, these men have jobs, they love the Lord and love kids. The third, she decides to go up the next floor. The third floor sign reads, these men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, and are extremely good looking. Yeah. How many of you men say, I'm with there? I'll be on that floor right there. She's wow, she thinks, but she feels compelled to go on. She goes to the fourth floor, and the sign reads, these men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, and are drop dead good looking. And help with housework. Pretty enticing. She says, oh, mercy me, she explains. I can hardly stand it. But still, she feels compelled, and she moves on to the fifth floor. Floor five. These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, drop dead gorgeous, help with housework, and have an extreme romantic streak. Still, she's tempted. She goes to the sixth floor. The sign reads, floor six. Your visitor, 4,363,012. This floor exists only to prove that women are impossible to please. Thank you for shopping the husband store. Watch your step as you exit the building. Matthew 17 tonight. Matthew chapter 17. My 10 pages of notes, 2-hour sermon. I'm going to cut her short, though, I promise. The first time I heard Dr. Carter was at Starlight Baptist Church in Orlando. I came here in 1994. He preached just before Dr. Jack Hiles, and I still remember him getting up and his opening statement. He says, I'm going to tell you what Liz Taylor told her seventh husband. I love you, but I won't keep you long. He preached a great sermon on the King James Bible then that night. And I won't be real long tonight, but I'm going to ask you a question. Are you charged up? Are you charged up? Here in Matthew 17, we find the first part of the chapter, the inner circle of the disciples. They had just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible says in verse number 9, Matthew chapter 17, and as they come down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. Those three words, I believe, right there, they kind of sum up the whole chapter there and the hub of it all. Jesus charged them. You know, 16 times here in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible says Jesus charged his disciples. And to me, I kind of looked at that and I figured, if these disciples that went to the top of the mountain with the Son of God, and they literally saw Jesus cause the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and dead to live again, if they needed charged up every once in a while, me and you are going to need charged up now and then as well. And that's easy, and I believe in a God-draining society that we live in, to kind of lose our fire and zeal and, you could say, gusto for God. I know a few things about some sports and a high state trivia. I know the Word of God. I know at a pastor church a little bit for 13 years. And one thing I don't know a lot about is mechanics. I do know a little bit about jumper cables, and I know this. I know that a battery cannot keep charge all on itself. How many have ever been had jumper cables to your vehicle before? Okay. I know a little bit about that, and that's about it. I know to check the oil, and I know how to jump a battery. But I know that a battery cannot charge itself. has to have the power, once it's dead, to come from someone else. And I kind of look at the Christian life that way just a little bit and realize this. We have no ability to have charge in ourselves, except the moment we are saved, we get the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of us. How many remember the day that you got saved? And the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God really literally did come inside of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to God that I'm on my way to heaven. The Holy Spirit is there. That Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit's my comforter. And He's my guide. And He's my power. And too many people today do not stay charged up. My wife has helped me with this many a time. I can count on more than one hand the time she says, Rodney, the car's dead. And I go out, and sure enough, the lights have been left on. And what happened? The electricity from the lights have pulled against the battery, and the battery is dead. And a lot of times, that is what the Christian life is really like. We don't stay charged up. Why? There's simply put, there's some Bible principles you could say that's not applied in our lives. And we all need the power of God in our lives. How many can testify you need the power of God in your life? As husbands and wives and parents and grandparents, we need the power of God in our lives. And sometimes when we least expect it. And there's Bible principles. As I'm laying a foundation here. There's some Bible principles that God can give us that power and give us that charge in our life. Every day I beg God for His power. And I beg God for the Holy Spirit to use me in a mighty way. And I was pastor of church 2 years. 2 years when my wife, after a November Sunday morning, she comes and says, I need to talk to you a little bit. And we're talking outside the doors of our church. And my wife can talk. If you know why she can. You know, they say on average, a woman speaks 25,000 words a day, and a man speaks 10,000 words on average. My wife has helped boost that up quite a bit, that average. And she can talk. And we were just talking that November day in 2004, just talking back and forth. And finally, I felt that still small voice, that Holy Spirit say, you better check on the kids. I got done preaching, the service was done, and my wife put the kids in the car, the three at that time, and they came around the side and of the building, and she came inside, and we're talking, and the car was running. I told her, I said, you better check on the kids, and immediately, she left. She could have said, you know, but I got to get some more things off my chest, but she didn't. Immediately, she submitted the voice of her husband. The Bible says to submit unto your own husbands, and she left. She walked immediately outside the car, and I did not know this, but my son, his little knee, has 2 years of age, had hit the button switch, and the window went down. And he moved it, and the window went back up with his head out the window. And when she found him, he wasn't breathing, and his face was blue. She screamed. I went out. I thought he was dead, and I ran back in, and I called 911. In the meantime, she's given CPR, and they're asking question after question. My wife's, and she's in control, and I'm screaming. They're asking every question. I said, just get here. She said, sir, that the ambulance is on its way. I just need to ask you a few questions. And the ambulance arrived. They came in the ambulance to the hospital to Children's Hospital in Columbus. And by the time I got there and arrived, an hour later, he was fine. I say, thank God for that still small voice, because 1 minute later, if submission to the Holy Spirit of God was not there, Brock Cameron Nobbett could have went out into eternity. Now, there's been a time or two where I could have wrung his neck as well and put his head out there for him not to breathe a little bit. But I thank God he's still here. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that's still alive and available for me and you today. And you know, sometimes we kind of look at the Christian life as hard. Sometimes some people are happy one day and kind of sad the next. And life doesn't really have to be that way.
You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You think of some people, and sometimes you think of those people that are happy all the time, and then some are just happy one day and sad the next. I want us to kind of right now, just kind of look at the person right next to you, just the person's close to you. Just kind of look at them right now. Yeah. Just look at them. Yeah. Immediately right now. What runs through your mind about them? You think, man, they're happy. Man, they're smiling. Man, they're always in a good mood. They're spiritual. They love God, or is it? Man, I don't know what day I'm going to catch them in. One day they're up here, the next day they're down there. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And today we're living in a world where we're constantly getting pulled by the world to go against God. Kind of constantly getting that power of God away from us. You go to the store, you go to Walmart, you turn on the TV, you go to school, you go to work. We're constantly being drained. But God has ordained certain things here in Matthew 17, for example, that illustrates us what we can do to be fully charged and keep it charged in our lives. Before I get going here, my 4 points and we'll be done. You know what would excite your preacher more than anything? Because if every single member of Landmark Baptist Church, they showed up for church. And they showed up for church, and they didn't have to be kicked and pumped and primed by their preacher. They came fully charged. And they came ready to go. They came sitting on the edge of their seat. They were holding that King James Bible in their hand. They were singing out. Well, that was wonderful singing tonight, amen. That was great. I love the first special right there by the Donahue family. I love the choir opener, Jesus is Coming Soon. I love the choir special, Leah Stanek, wonderful music. But wouldn't it be great if every single member showed up to church and they sang out to their best? They had their King James Bible. They were waving it back and forth. And every time the preacher said something good, which here is quite often, they gave an amen enthusiastic and they were praising God. Instead of having to get kicked and pumped and primed to get charged for God. 4 quick things this evening will be done. Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John, they came from the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw Moses and Elijah appear. And immediately, first point tonight, what we'll do to keep you fired up for God, they started worshiping and praising God. If we'll worship and praise God every chance we get, we'll get on fire for God and we'll keep that charge. How many tonight say, I'm excited about God? Excited about God? You know, the Pentecostals, they're kind of known for being outlandish and kind of being excited. And if anybody should be excited, it should be us, independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing Baptists on our way to heaven. We have the right doctrine. They have wrong doctrine, but they kind of have the right attitude. You know, when God saves us, He changes us. And today we live in a world, we got big screen TVs, and we got nice cars, nice houses, the nicest clothes. But I wonder, how on fire for God are we? I wonder, how much do we really worship and how much do we really praise God? How many of you, there's some things in life that really get you excited. You have anything that gets you excited? You know, God should be first in the excitement of life. Should be. There are some things that do get me excited. Brother Matt asked me, what are you going to say tonight? Right when I walked up, he saw my colors I had on right here. He saw it. And this past December 1st, you know, Ohio State, they won the Big Ten championship game 59-0. How many of you care? A few of you. Yeah. Then they got the first ever playoff, college football playoff. Alabama Crimson Tide. They won. They got into the championship game. It was January 14, 2015. They played the Oregon Ducks. It was 21-20 early in the third quarter. And then they reeled off 3 straight touchdowns, 42-20. And in that game, Brock Cameron right there beside me. My wife, who never watches a football game, and she's right there with us too. And then Bryce Carter Noblet, at the age of one, he jumps on my shoulder and starts jumping up and down, excited on my shoulder, excited. The Buckeyes were victorious. They're the king of the mountains. We're so excited. I lost my voice that night in excitement and enthusiasm for a football game. That again, how many of you really care? A couple, but I did. You know, we're excited about football, but God is more exciting than that. 2 months ago, I had the privilege, God opened up some doors around our area. I went to 8 public schools. I took my 2 daughters with me and 1 teenage boy, 8 public schools. We tried to encourage them to come on to Heritage Baptist Church, Galleon, Ohio, over the teen conference just for you. So we're going to have some motivational speaking, and there's going to be some games and skits, a lot of fun. And there was one particular girl that had come that day. 225 teenagers arrived that night. Almost 40 teenagers got saved 2 months ago. And we were excited. We were worshiping. We were praising God. And one young lady kind of gave this testimony. We went to Northmore High School, and she says, I kind of watched you. I watched you and those girls that happened to my 2 daughters. She didn't know that then. I kind of saw something different about you. You just kind of seemed like you loved life, her testimony was. And I just wanted to check it out. And that Thursday night, I preach on what's in your walls and the walls of your heart and hang-ups that people have in their lives. God spoke to her heart that night, and she came forward, and she got saved. And her testimony, she went on saying, I was sexually abused, and this past week, I kind of thought about taking my own life. But I saw something different about you. I wanted to check it out. And because of that, I decided to go to that teen conference, and now I'm on my way to heaven. You know what? That's worth worshiping and praising God, and that's what Christianity really is all about. Worshiping and praising God. This past Wednesday, we had one of those type of services at Heritage Baptist Church, Galleon, Ohio. Heather, a young lady, gave the last testimony that night. She came and said, Church, many of you know that I've been trying for years, Pastor, she said, to have a baby for years, and I have not been able to. She says, you know, I kind of gotten bitter at God. There's been a time or two I've drifted away because of that bitterness. And she said, Church, you know, I did come back. And she says, I came to Pastor about a month ago. She came to me, said, I'm over that, but if God wants me to have a baby, he'll let me have one. I've went to doctor after doctor, and they did what they could, but to no avail. And she says, I just want you to do this, Pastor, for me. I want you to anoint me with oil and pray to God and ask that he'd give me a baby if it's his will. I said, Heather, sure enough, I'd do that. About 6 weeks ago, me and my deacon board went to the office just before church that night and put oil in her head and laid hands on her and prayed over her. God, if it's your will, allow Heather to have a baby. Wednesday night at church, she told the church that story, what had happened. She said, Church, I've been to doctor after doctor to no avail. But she said, Church, God answered my prayer. Last week the doctor said, I'm going to have a baby. Talk about worshiping and praising God that night. Excitement filled the air. We serve a prayer-answering God still. He is worth worshiping. He's worth praising. And if you really do with the zeal and the fire in your life, when is the last time you worshiped and praised God? That will keep your fire. Number 2, verses 10 through 13. Worshiping and praising God can keep a charge in your life. Number 2, wound up preaching. Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. You know, there's a wild man right here. His name's John the Baptist, and he was a peculiar preacher. He ate locusts, wild honey as a snack. Nobody really seemed to like him, but John the Baptist just told it straight. He wasn't a sissified preacher. He was bold, in your face. He loved God. You know, Landmark Baptist Church has a special person here. Really, really do. My hero, Pastor Mickey Carter. But everything I know in the ministry is because of Dr. Carter. He's wise beyond his years now. Been in the ministry how many years? 47 years. 47 years. I heard, shoo, that's a lot of years. 47 years. Wise in the ministry. Bold, preaches it straight just like it is. Amen? Bold, servant of servants. He's got on roofs with us many a time. He's a worker of all workers, servant of all servants, preacher of all preachers, wise and charming. Amen? Anything else you want me to say, preacher? Wise. He really, really is. There's something special right here in Dr. Mickey Carter. And that's just like John the Baptist, special. He was special, so special, that when Jesus was talking here, Matthew 17, of being recharged, he didn't talk about the weeping prophet Jeremiah or a well-educated Isaiah or evangelistic Paul. He just talked about a plain, bold preacher named John the Baptist. And by the way, I can also prove to us tonight that Jesus Christ was not effeminate and sissified and just girly looking like you see on some pictures in some Christian bookstores. He was a man of all men, because remember, John the Baptist was the preacher of all preachers, and Herod was getting rid of his head cut off. And Jesus started his earthly ministry, and Jesus started preaching. And all of a sudden, some people came to Herod and said, there's a wild man that's out there preaching, and started describing how Jesus was preaching. And Herod says, oh my, John the Baptist must have risen from the dead. Why? Because Jesus was preaching just like John the Baptist. And he was bold, and he was confrontational. He would tell it just like it is. In 2015, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ would preach homosexuality is sin and abomination in the sight of God. They would teach abortion is murder. It's wickedness. He'd preach standards and right living and holy living. And he wouldn't care of anything in the world, because he wanted people charged up for God. What will charge you up for God? Number one, worshiping and praising God. Number two, getting under wound up preaching as much as you can. Number three, verses 14 through 23, winning people to Jesus Christ. How about you? But I love winning at everything. There's nothing like winning someone to Jesus Christ. A man here brings a demon-possessed boy to the disciples to get him cast out, and they couldn't. And they bring him to Jesus. He casts the demons out, and the boy gets saved. There's something special about getting somebody saved. You want to get fired up for God, you win someone to Jesus Christ. There's two things that will quiet a crowd, though, more than anything. I've realized this in 13 years of pastoring. Two things. Number one, talk about tithes and offerings and missions giving. Money. And it gets real quiet. Number two, talk about soul winning when people are not doing it themselves. It gets real, real quiet. How many of you here, raise your hand if you're still in the Foster Club or Fisherman's Club here at Landmark? Super. That's where I learned to plan our salvation here, Landmark Baptist Church. I think of coming here as a homesick college student, 1994. Again, I arrived here August 2nd, 1994. August 8th, I asked Jesus Christ in my heart to be my Savior. Homesick, away from God, I started walking the streets of Haines City, Florida here, winning people to Jesus Christ. I got a couple people with me after college. I would teach at this Christian school here, and I'd go in the parking lot, Landmark Baptist Church. Some of the kids would be walking home from school, and they started walking around the parking lot of Landmark Baptist Church because they knew there was going to be someone that was there to meet them and tell them how to be saved. I was one day in my 1993 Plymouth Duster here, heading south, getting ready to make a left onto the Henson Avenue, and right at catty corner from the gas station now, there was a Hess gas station right there. past gas station, and I saw this old beat-up station wagon. It lost its power. It was out of gas. It was kind of coasting through the light. And it coasted right into the Hess gas station. And I thought, what am I going to do now? I pulled right in and kind of act like I knew what I was doing. And I got that hood up, and I went in the back. I got my jumper cables, and I just, like I cooter the mechanic, and I hooked my jumper cables onto my battery, and I took the jumper cables onto his, and he got out. Just let this charge for a while. I said, I asked him his name. He told me his name. He said, I'm getting ready to move next week to North Carolina. I said, is that right? I said, how about that? I said, let me just kind of ask you a question. While we're waiting for this battery to charge right here, don't start here just a minute. He said, if you die now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He says, no, I don't. And right there at the Hess gas station, I led that young man to Jesus Christ. Talk about excitement. Excitement was there. I said, well, let me, how about your wife? Can I talk to your wife? And he said, sure. I walked around a side, talked to her. I led her to Jesus Christ at that gas station. She said, you know what? It's crazy. Next week, we're moving to North Carolina. You know what? I don't remember the guy's name, and I'll never see them again, except we'll be there together in glory. I promise you, I was a homesick college student, but I left the Hess gas station that day on fire for God. Fired up. I came to Landmark Baptist Church in college over 20 years ago now because I wanted to make a difference for God. I arrived here again, I said, August 2nd, 1994, got saved August 8th, and I was on fire. I was so excited. I felt the world lifted off my shoulders. I wasn't going to hell anymore. I was going to heaven. I was excited. The next greatest thing I promise ever happened to me. December 25th, Christmas Day, 1995, the next year. I led my sister and my brother-in-law to Jesus Christ. They got saved. The next day, on the way to Grayson, Kentucky, tried to get my uncle saved. I led my mom to Jesus Christ. Tears coming down mom's face. She prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Christ into her heart. Man, talk about excitement. Excitement was there. Mom saved. In heaven now. Little did I know. Less than 2 years later, she would have been killed in a car accident. And I have this note right here to talk about this tonight. But that night, what went through my mind over and over and over again was my mother-in-law and father-in-law taking me and Aaron to the Orlando airport. And S.A. April out there, Rich Lemon, he was giving through the radio to me words of encouragement and prayer. I see April here tonight. The only thing that really mattered then was if I had enough charge in me, enough power of God in my life, to see my mom get saved. She's on her way to heaven now. You know, I'm done, but it's easy in life to go through the routine. We come to church on Sunday morning and some of you Sunday night and Wednesday night with a King James Bible in our arms and maybe you teach a class, work a bus route. It's easy to go through the routine, but do we really have the power of God in our lives? Are we really making a difference? Do we worship and praise God? Do we really enjoy preaching? Do we win anyone to Jesus Christ? Are we making a difference? How much charge in our life do we have? I'm done. I have one more point, but I'll be done. You know what will fire you up as much as anything? It's watching for the personal return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 17, if you will, and I'll be done. Luke 17. Bible says here, Luke chapter number 17. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days of the Son of Man. And jumping on to verse 28, where I want to go. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. You know, there was sexual perversion in the days of Noah. And obviously in the days of Lot. And we look at this world today in Ohio, I believe this month of June coming up. Are they going to legalize same-sex marriage? That's sad. It's sad. Who would ever thought 25 years ago that a man that won the gold medal for the United States of America could actually come on TV and say that he wanted to be a woman and be heralded by the national media? The same man that his ex-wife came out and said 30 years ago, he went to Denmark, said he wanted to come back and be his children's Aunt Heather. Sad. But the Bible says that it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The time to get fired up for God, to be used by God, is now. Oh, we have time left to do something for God. Let's stand, if we can, please, with every head bowed this evening, every eye closed. Being charged up for God. With every head bowed tonight and every eye closed, I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know for sure 100% if I died, I'd go to heaven. I have no doubt about it in my mind. Can you slip your hand up good and tall? You know that you've been saved. Thank you. I see your hands. You can put them down. Tonight, I wonder, is there anyone that would say, Pastor, to be honest, I'm not sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. I kind of have some doubt about it. If that's you tonight, could you raise your hand wherever you're at? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not 100% for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Here's my hand. You can pray for me. Anybody like that in here tonight? How many of us in here would say, Pastor, tonight God spoke to my heart. Tonight I want to be charged up for God more than I've ever been before. And I want that for my life. Can you slip your hand up if that's you? You want the power of God on your life like you've ever had it before. Dear God in heaven, again, we love you. We thank you for the cross at Calvary. Most importantly, Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, I ask that you'd save them before it's forever too late. And while we have time left to do something for you, Lord, I pray that we'll all